Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Jalen and Jacoby, the after show, continues this Sunday following the premiere of the latest 30 for 30 Lance Part 1. Immediately after the show airs, listen to the wrap-up podcast as Jalen and Jacoby react to the film that features Armstrong himself and one of the biggest doping scandals in sports history. Subscribe now to Jalen and Jacoby, the after show, on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. Here's your SportsCenter update. The NCAA Division I Council voted Wednesday to allow voluntary on-campus athletic activities to resume in football and men's and women's basketball starting on June 1st. NBA teams are expecting the league office will issue guidelines around June 1st that will allow franchises to start recalling players who have left their markets as a first step towards a formal ramp-up for the season's resumption. And finally, a group of NASA scientists working on an experiment in Antarctica have detected evidence of a parallel... Dan, say it for me, please. Universe. I got to slow down. Parallel. That's it. I got to slow down. Where the rules of physics are the opposite of our own. I don't know our own rules of physics. What's going on? Man. We're going to look back. Sammy Watkins is going to be right on everything. Hey, seriously. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So Tony Hawk is with us here. You can see what Tony is doing on Instagram at Tony Hawk. He's basically, those are the two words you sort of associate with skateboarding. Good catching up with you, Tony. Thank you for making the time. Hope everything is well. Can you tell us, can you explain to us when you started skateboarding, the differences between what it is and what it's become and what it started at when you were starting?
Wow. Well, when I started, it was mostly just considered a toy, likened to yo-yos or hula hoops. It was really just like this fad that a lot of people thought came and went. And I got hooked because I saw people flying out of empty swimming pools, and it just spoke to me. I love the way that it was more like aerial tactics, almost like gymnastics. And it was daring, and it was different, and I just got hooked on it at a very early age. And nowadays, it's very much a mainstay. I mean, kids are doing it as much as they do play ball sports, and it's in the Olympics next year, and parents are encouraging it, and it's an actual living. I think that's probably the biggest difference.
When did that change, Tony? Was that with you?
I would say over the last 15, 20 years has been the biggest shift in perception. I think a lot of it, I think our video game helped that in terms of popularity. I think the X Games were a big part of that. And it's also just sort of a sign of the times. Kids were looking for different outlets. And you know, the jackass generation likes stuff that was a little more daredevil.
When you talk about the video game, can you tell us how that came to be, what reticence you had about doing it, because people were going to start calling you names and a sellout and everything else after that? Like, how did all that come to be?
It was a group effort. I actually had been pitching a skating video game to different developers, and because I had been in contact with a PC programmer who had a very crude skate engine, and we didn't have much luck. We didn't really get anywhere with it. But because I had been doing that, Activision was already working on a skating video game, and they had heard that I was interested, so they connected the dots and had me come up to their office and see what they were doing. And I instantly knew that this was the game, because I could sense that it was intuitive. It felt like fun type of skating, but not something you had to, the learning curve wasn't very long. And so I signed up right away. I never really thought about the concerns of being called a sellout, because I love video games like my whole life. So I thought, wow, this would be a really fun project, and to get to have some influence over how skating is portrayed in the video game is important, because I wanted to be authentic. And so if nothing else, I was just proud to be bringing skateboarding to this video game audience. I would say the whole sellout factor came as the game started to sell. that was sort of the determining factor.
As it was actually selling out. You famously had a lot of creative control over the look and feel of the game. It's an iconic soundtrack to that video game. I'm wondering how much input you had on that.
My input was more based on the older tracks that were part of our culture. So when you think about skating, especially when I was growing up in the 80s, the soundtrack to skate parks and skating was punk music. And so that was what I brought into the fold. Activision has a very robust music department, so they brought in more newer bands. So the bands that people identify with the game, like Goldfinger, Superman, Millencolin, No Cigar, that was more on their end. But I brought in Dead Kennedys and Primus and X and Black Flag and things like that.
Do you still skate every day?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, it's my preferred form of exercise. And I'm very lucky. I have a small park in my backyard. I also have my own private vert ramp down the street. So that's what I've been doing for the last couple months. I've either been home or at the ramp.
Tony, do you have a funny story about skateboarding in or inside or around the White House? You did that for President Obama.
I did. I got invited there for a Father's Day event. And it was more about spreading a message of being being present as a father. And I just brought my skateboard along, because every time I go somewhere that's of any sort of importance, people ask me, "Where's your skateboard?" And so I figured, well, I'm not going to get caught here like that without my board. And I didn't really even, it wasn't in the plan that I was going to skate. But then at some point I found myself walking down a hallway and figured I could just drop my skateboard down, cruise through here, and get a photo that would be funny or interesting. And I did. My tour guide / escort sort of turned a blind eye, because he didn't want to be responsible for that. And then I took a photo of it, and it blew up. I had no idea of the sort of interest or controversy it would create. But I would do it again. I mean, it was a proud moment for me. I brought skateboarding to the White House.
Do you have something that you wouldn't do again? Like along your career, I don't know whether it's broken bones or something else, but something that you look back on and were like, man, over the last 30 years of doing this, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I would not do a segment for Jackass or Wild Boys wearing a gorilla suit doing a full loop. I would choose to skip that part of my life because it ended up with a broken pelvis.
And how bad was that? What are the specifics of that?
The specifics was we were doing a segment for Wild Boys with Steve-O and Chris Pontius, and they had an orangutan that skated. So we were mimicking the orangutan, and then we ended up doing one of those full loop ramps. And that day it went sour. I fell from the top and broke my pelvis, broke my thumb, fractured my skull, and I basically was out of skating for about 3 months, which was my longest hiatus.
Well, Tony Hawk with us. You were mentioning the video game. It has been or is about to be re-released. What was your life like right before that video game? And what did you think was going to be the maximum earning off of something like that? What the highest end of what you imagined looked smaller than this, no?
The game was, we were working on it through 1998 and 1999 for the most part. I thought it was going to be a really cool game that skaters would like, and that was the extent of the success that I saw for it. As it got released, I felt this momentum and this excitement on Activision's behalf, and they actually offered me a buyout of future royalties right around that time for $500,000, and that seemed insane to me that anyone would offer me that much money. I mean, I had never seen close to that in my lifetime. And so they said, you know, we will give you this much right now, and then you won't get any royalties going forward. And somehow, you know, even though that clouded my judgment a bit, I thought, well, I'm actually doing okay. I was making pretty good money with endorsements and with competition earnings, and I had just purchased a new house, and I thought, I'm going to just let this one ride and see what happens, and for sure, that was the best financial decision of my lifetime.
Holy bleep. All right, hold on a second, though. Hold on a second. So I don't want to get indelicate into the privacy area, but the idea that you basically had the strength and financial fortitude to do that, that got you how much money? Because that decision, $500,000, of course that's going to be tempting, but you not only made the right decision, you made the right decision how right?
Many times over, over the years.
Great answer.
Okay, yeah, it is a great answer, but it's not a straight answer because I imagine you had no idea, right? You had you weren't making.
I had no idea. No, but I did. I mean, I would say for the first 6 years of the game release, the checks kept increasing, and at some point it just became unreal. But I can tell you that there are very, very inflated estimates of my net worth out there.
Tony, good talking to you. Thank you for making the time. We always enjoy catching up with you, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Again, you can follow him on Instagram. It's pretty easy to do. It's at Tony Hawk. He is, I don't associate any other name with skateboarding. The idea, how old is he? Isn't he, is he 50 yet? Because
I don't know.
The idea of what skateboarding has become, at least in part because I think he would be considered the leading pioneer. Yeah, 52 years old, wow. Mike Ryan has shown me. I mean, that means he's been basically doing that for 4 decades and seen it gone from a yo-yo to this thing that, you know, spawns a lot of money. We're back after this.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
If you missed any of our interviews, please check them out on demand in the Dan Le Batard Show podcast brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. When you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
We are sending you to a local hour interview today, telling you that it's got some good stuff in it. If you're South Florida based, certainly, especially, but if you care about a certain time in American sports, back when, you know, baseball mattered in a way that was bigger than it does now. A time not unlike 9 years ago when Randy Macho Man Savage passed away, Stu Gatz, because we've got a guest today. Sam Borden wrote an article about Randy Macho Man Savage. And one of the things that cuts across the generations here, I don't know why or how, right? Because Bill Simmons is 50 plus years old and the Pardon My Take guys are, younger and bringing in younger audience, and both are somehow just as excited to talk to the Undertaker. And so, Randy Macho Man Savage, Mike, is an even bigger personality than the Undertaker, right? Randy Macho Man Savage, since we're all making top five lists at ESPN, since Paul Pierce says LeBron James isn't in his top five, since Stephen A. Smith says that Russell Westbrook is in his top five to build a team around, since Dan Orlovsky is saying that Carson Wentz is in his top five because we need to get somebody out there every day to say a thing so we can all react to it and bring you content. Randy Macho Man Savage, yes or no? Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Wow. Is Randy Macho Man Savage a top five wrestler of all time?
Man, it's so hard to do a top five when it comes to wrestlers because there's so many great personalities. And at the height of wrestling's popularity in this country, it had two real peaks. The Attitude Era with Stone Cold, The Generation X, all that. And then the late 80s, early 90s, and the Mega Powers with Hulk Hogan. Macho Man was one of the larger-than-life personalities. And you mentioned The Undertaker. Some would argue Undertaker probably higher in terms of ranking, but this was a man that was a crossover star. If you didn't know him from wrestling, you knew him from the Slim Jim commercials. His whole personality was just him, but amplified. The Macho Man, from the ring attire to being the Macho King, he was just a great in-ring performer, too, really ahead of his time. We're watching back all these matches, and it just sticks out how much more advanced he is than some of the stiffs that he's working with in the ring.
He's in my top five. I would imagine most people would have Randy the Macho Man Savage inside their top five of all-time great wrestlers. He just because the personality, the persona, the character, you know, the dressing up that he did, the costume, all of it. He was fantastic. Well, he was so entertaining.
But let me ask you this as an example, though, in terms of fame and presence and whatnot, because he was a charismatic performer. He was funny as well. Does that mean that he goes on the top five before someone like Andre the Giant, who didn't have any personality, that didn't bring anything other than just he was a giant dude?
Right. Well, Giant is also, Andre is also in my top five. And so for different reasons, but he is, he's also inside my top five wrestlers of all time.
I mean, Andre was great because he was just an attraction. You didn't need to tell stories for Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant would show up and you knew exactly what the story was. With Macho Man, really some of the great angles in wrestling history, everything with Miss Elizabeth that he was doing where he thought Hulk Hogan was moving in on his woman and it was a Mega Powers collide. It was amazing. We saw yesterday kids crying in the audience as he's getting attacked by a King Cobra snake by a villainous Jake the Snake Roberts. He told great stories with his in-ring storytelling and obviously a great performer. You were immediately invested in him and you couldn't help but gravitate towards
him. I'm not comfortable, Stu Gatz, with how often Mike is just casually mentioning, we watched this yesterday, because he keeps turning on the television.
Macho Man's on our screen right now.
He keeps turning on the television. We have to be one of the few people anywhere in the world watching this stuff right now. If you were to go to wherever it is that Vince McMahon keeps the secret files, there would be one viewer on what it is that we are presently watching. Every day, Mike Bryan turns on 3 hours of wrestling. Stop saying we. It's largely you.
I saw a tear come to your eye when Roddy Piper was trying to get Jake the Snake Roberts off of Macho Man Randy Savage, and Macho Man tries to fight to his feet, but the venom is coursing through his veins, as Vince McMahon was telling us, and he was going weak and needed assistance when he falls off the stretcher, Dan, because of the venom, Dan.
All right, we're going to talk to this author of this Randy Macho Man Savage article coming up next, but Billy, how are you feeling right now? We're an hour removed here from possibly getting Jose Canseco. Well, Stu Gatz, bad luck befell you, right? Because you were on the cusp. Like, Aaron Rodgers was going to be on with us right around the draft, and then they do that, and Aaron Rodgers disappeared. So you were on the cusp of securing Aaron Rodgers for us, but that whole thing blew up in his face, right, Stu?
Yeah, that's LaFleur's fault for taking Jordan Love, because once that happened, Aaron Rodgers – Like, he needs Dan. He's not coming on this show, and everyone at ESPN needs to accept this. He does not want to talk about Jordan Love. So he did it elsewhere with the national media, and I kept making fun of the Packers. What happened? You lose Aaron? And they're like, no, but we got, yeah, we're dealing with some stuff. And so he said the serious stuff, and now I just got a note saying, hey, we found Aaron. We got that over with. He's ready to come on. So next week, I am hopeful that Aaron Rodgers will join us again. But it is stressful going after a big guest, man.
Billy, where are you with this? Jose Canseco is scheduled to join us at 12:30 in 1 hour. Your thoughts are what here? You're feeling, are you doomsdaying or are you hopeful? Have you checked back in with him?
Well, Aaron and Jose are apples and oranges. I mean, one is a gettable person that's been on the show multiple times. The other is Jose Canseco. I'll let you know how I feel about Jose Canseco at 12:45.
Okay. 12:45. All right. 15 minutes after he is scheduled to appear. All right. We talk Randy Macho Man Savage next.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's your SportsCenter update. The NCAA Division I Council voted Wednesday to allow voluntary on-campus athletic activities to resume in football and men's and women's basketball starting on June 1st. NBA teams are expecting the league office will issue guidelines around June 1st that will allow franchises to start recalling players who have left their markets as a first step towards a formal ramp-up for the season's resumption. And finally, David and Emily Shantz of Virginia were out for a drive last weekend and stopped their truck to pick up what looked like two bags of trash thrown in the middle of the road. But after returning home, discovered nearly $1 million cash inside. Inside of the bag, there were plastic baggies and they were addressed with something that said cash vault, Emily said. The couple chose to turn in the money to the Caroline County Sheriff's Office. Tough decision. If you love Nature Valley sweet and salty bars, you'll love the new sweet and salty minis. It's all the indulgent savory goodness you know now in a smaller size. And at 100 calories, snacking has never been so sweet. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the night.
Mike, you have right in front of you a computer with the faces of Tony, Chris, Billy, me, Stugatz, and Roy. And I believe that only one of those boxes looks like defeat right now. Looks like it is unhappy. It's an unhappy box. How would you describe to the audience what's happening inside of Chris Cody's box, where he looks very comfortable, but he's had a bit of a disastrous week. And tough. His latest mistake is that the author for the Randy Macho Man Savage article is not on here. He will be at noon today because Chris Cody has gotten a number of things wrong the last couple of days, which is why I've said for a record-breaking number of times this week that he has no future in this business.
And he's starting to believe you, because we asked him for clarification because the calendar says one thing, but the promotional information says something else. And we asked him to clarify. He's like, I got that wrong. Real banner week for me.
Yes, he is defeated. But I want to get into Stugatz a little bit here. While he's defeated, I want to extend him a great deal of gratitude and happiness to have him in our lives, because he had a really rough day yesterday. I believe he just got done describing what I think is the saddest birthday party anyone has ever had. All right. So this is, it's unbelievable, really. Happy birthday to Chris Cody here. We are all very happy to have you around, because this birthday party yesterday, he didn't tell anybody. Okay. So nobody around here knew it was his birthday. He told his wife that he didn't want one of those stupid car parades when he secretly secretly did want the stupid car parade. But this isn't the worst part. I'm about to tell you the saddest part of this birthday story because it involves his father, a certified idiot. Yes, Stugatz.
Before you tell that part, I want to teach Chris a lesson. If you tell your wife you don't want something, you're not getting it. If she says she doesn't want something, she desperately wants it. Okay? Just right. a lesson moving forward. Okay? And for you too, Dan.
Put that on the poll. Thank you, Stugatz, you marital wizard. I appreciate you dispensing all of that marital advice.
Been at this for a while.
Yeah. So anyway, before we go any further, we wish a heartfelt and hearty happy birthday to SportsCenter anchor Randy Scott. That guy gets it. Let's wish him happy birthday in our special style, Bristol.
And happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
And while we're at it, let's go ahead and give that to Chris Cody here because I'm about to get to the saddest part of this story. Let's wish Chris Cody an insincere happy birthday.
And happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
So he describes an evening. They asked him, what'd you do for your birthday? And his response was, had dinner. And then he threw in a couple of sad, pathetic White Claws in there. It wasn't even a good night of drinking. It was just him spending the night having a couple of pathetic White Claws while longing for a parade of cars that he didn't say he wanted on the radio, that he told his wife he did not want, but secretly he actually wanted a parade of cars. But instead what he got, all right, is his certified idiot father. All right. Chris Cody had mentioned at some point that during the quarantine, you know, I don't know where this green thumb came from, but he wanted to sort of have a pineapple tree. And so for his birthday, his certified idiot father brings his 33-year-old son as a gift. A pineapple!
Come on. I love him so much.
It's such a bad gift. It is such a bad gift. I don't think I've ever heard a worse birthday gift than a single pineapple. Chris has now walked into another area after he wrapped it.
Is that saran wrap?
Did he re-wrap it as a gift?
It's in a see-through plastic bag, just a pineapple. Like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this?
What was the saddest
Why
part?
Would you wrap it if it's see-through?
Beautiful.
Oh, geez, Ed. I don't know what this could possibly be.
What is that? That's a gift bag of some sort?
Yeah, he put it in a gift bag, didn't even wrap it, and he's just like, hey, I know you said you wanted to plant a pineapple plant. I just got you a pineapple.
It's the laziest gift I've ever seen.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is giving someone a pineapple for their birthday the laziest gift that you can imagine? Chris, tell me the saddest parts of your happy birthday.
I mean, just, you know, not being able to go to a restaurant, even though I think I could technically go to a restaurant now, but I don't feel safe doing that yet. I ordered in P.F. Chang's. My chicken was a little, just P.F. Chang's. I love P.F. Chang's. It just doesn't travel great. Not a great decision by me. I had just as bad, man. It was a bad birthday. I mean, such a forgettable birthday. That's how I would describe yesterday. A forgettable birthday by you guys as well, because you guys forgot.
Yeah. Well, you didn't tell us. You didn't tell anybody. And so we had to learn through other sources. Your father, however, doesn't have a good excuse for celebrating, because that's absolutely the gift you get. Someone, Chris, if you have not realized that it's their birthday and you just go to your cupboard and get something. Like, honest to God, you tell me that he couldn't have found something in his house that was a better gift than what he ended up giving you, as if he just pulled it off the top of the fridge.
is this surprising though? It's Greg Cody. I mean, he thought it was thoughtful too. He thought it was a great gift. He's like, this is better than a plant because you can actually, apparently you can turn a real pineapple into a pineapple plant, but it takes like 7 times as long and more work. So it's just,
so he gave you work. He gave you more work. You could just buy a pineapple plant and plant it, or you could wait, you could nourish it to health and watch it die as a baby because you didn't take care of it right. All right. Very good. Happy birthday. We got some good Marty Smith sound to play for you next.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security. Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
All right, Dan, it is time for the movie of the day. It is brought to you by our friends at Redbox in honor of Mr. T's birthday. Mr. T, happy birthday. I have my top 3 movies of all time starring Mr. T. Number 3.
Have there been 3?
Have there been. Yep, there have been. Right. Well, I mean, it depends on your movie tastes. Number 3 for me was DC Cab. A classic with Mr. T. Parlayed his success from another movie on this list into DC Cab. And boy, did he deliver. Number 2 on my all-time list of best movies starring Mr. T. I'll never forget the first time I watched it. It was fantastic. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Tremendous. And number 1, of course, and I'll be watching it tonight because I watch it every Thursday night, is Rocky 3. The greatest mystery of all time is now streaming on Redbox. Don't miss the theatrical home release of Scoob. Discover Scooby-Doo's epic destiny and stream this premium rental with Redbox On Demand today.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Is DC Cab starring Mr. T an absolute classic, as Stugatz says, we have somehow, through some miracle of technology, we have fought through the fossils, the old age, the tape of mummy, and the cobwebs, and we have located one Greg Cody in an emergency in order to get him to explain himself on what we believe to be the punctuation, the fruity sweet punctuation on the single worst birthday we've ever encountered. And his gift is flabbergasting in its laziness and in its thoughtlessness, and we want to get an answer from him on this. But before I do that, I have to point out, Stugatz, that I don't know if you saw this story, but I can't believe an hour and 40 minutes have gone by here, and we haven't discussed what the Indians were doing with their lineup graphics last year. The Cleveland Indians, and we've got to find a way for all sports teams to do what I'm about to tell you. Do you know this story at all that I'm talking about here, Stugatz?
I have no idea, man.
All right, so in all of their lineup graphics, not all of them, I shouldn't say all of them, but many of them, you would find hidden somewhere in the graphics, in a tattoo that somebody was wearing, in a crowd shot in the background, for reasons that are impossible to discern, but also totally understandable, Nicolas Cage.
What?
Nicolas Cage appears secretly in like 38, 39, 40 different Cleveland Indian lineup graphics. I'd love to talk to the person who did this, why they did this, if there was any sort of reaction. Did anyone notice? I have so many questions about this. And if I asked you, wouldn't you want your team to do something like that, Stugatz? Just hide some interactive game in the graphics, especially if it's baseball, right?
Yeah, 100%. It makes it more fun. It's funny, first off. It is funny, and choosing Nicolas Cage makes it funnier. But yeah, would love, of course, who wouldn't love their favorite baseball team to come up with something creative and funny like this?
All right, so Greg Cody, let's see if all of this works now. We have summoned him. He is in the Zoom. He has arrived here to explain himself. Greg Cody, can you hear us okay? Do we have you? And are you defensive right now? Because I've got 1,000 questions about what happened with you and your son.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm ready to roll. It was a wonderful gift. I'm a wonderful dad. And that's my starting point.
Did you forget it was his birthday?
Not at all. Are you kidding me? I organized a party for him at the abode last evening.
What kind of party did you organize that involved you bringing over a wrapped pineapple?
Yeah, apparently the Levitard show forgot his birthday yesterday, but I didn't. Well, here's the way it worked. I tried to buy him a pineapple plant because I know he wanted one. They're tough to find. They're a little bit exotic, a little bit pricey. I went to a couple of players, could not procure an actual pineapple plant. So I'm going through Publix with a face mask. I see a pineapple over there. I'm like, you know what? That's fantastic, because not only can you enjoy the pineapple, the full-grown pineapple, but you can take a pineapple top, which I'll teach him how to do, and you can plant it and grow your own pineapple plant. So it's really a wonderful thing. It's a way to repurpose the gift. This is the gift that we'll keep on giving, much like my fatherhood.
Greg, pricey? Pineapple plants are a little bit pricey. What are you defining as pricey?
I mean, you can spend $30 for a good pineapple plant. I was going to get them two. Keep in mind, my wife, the gift buyer in our house, my wife got him other stuff. And, you know, we bought him a big meal last night and a cake and all that kind of crap. So I was going to, as an augment, I was going to surprise him with a couple of pineapple plants. Couldn't make that happen during the pandemic. Had to get him a pineapple.
Greg, how much did the pineapple, did you leave Publix? First of all, put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Have you ever heard of someone buying their big birthday gift for someone else at Publix? First thing I want to ask you is, how much did that pineapple set you back? And I've got 1,000 questions about how you decided to wrap it as well.
Well, first of all, I think it might have been on sale. It was only $3.99. Now, normally you'll spend $5 or $6 for a beautiful full grown pineapple. One of the loveliest, things on earth. What a great gift, visually. And yeah, a little tough to wrap.
Greg, you know, Greg, you got your son for his birthday a gift that cost you $3.99.
If you want to put it like that. Yeah. I mean, not counting tax.
Dan, he didn't go to Publix to get him the gift. He stumbled into the pineapple while he was at Publix. It's like he went out of his way to get Chris a gift. He just stumbled into a pineapple.
Wait a minute. Take me through the decision-making process on how you wrapped it, where you decide to go see-through on the wrapping, which sort of ruins all the surprise. Why did you bother to wrap that? Do you know where the wrapping paper is in your house?
I don't know that we have any. My wife has a bunch of gift bags. Which she dropped the pineapple gingerly into a gift bag, and then we put some tissue paper over it. So he would have to remove the tissue paper in order to see and enjoy the gift.
Greg, it was unspeakably poorly wrapped, okay? It looked like there was no thought put into any part of that gift. It's clear, obvious, on retrospect, that there was no money put into the gift, but it's obvious that you didn't try very hard. You can't support this. You can't be defensive about it. It's a horrific gift.
There it is. Christopher's showing it right now. It's a beautiful gift.
It's Dan, Stu, and Greg Cody on ESPN Radio.